You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Thrilled to be joined once again by David Sampson. He of the award-winning Nothing Personal with David Sampson podcast that he records live weekdays at 8 a.m. He fits us into his Tuesday morning routine. And so you can follow him at all the places, you know, that you can get the podcasts. Never mind the fact that on X, you can follow him at David, the letter P, Sampson. David P. Sampson. Can you, at the start, recreate the final 30 seconds of your Nothing Personal yesterday in terms of how would, if you were Shohei Ohtani, how would you have handled things yesterday?
I would have walked into the room, sat in the chair, and done this.
And that's how and we ended his podcast yesterday. There you go. That's his statement. David Sampson, you heard it right here. Answered all your questions.
I find the whole thing yesterday so objectionable on myriad levels, starting with, I don't understand who's advising the Dodgers or Ohtani. I've never heard of anyone under investigation deciding that they were going to talk and lay out their side of the story. Whether it's true or not, you don't do it because the authorities, whether it's the IRS or anybody, is listening to every word. They now have you on tape that they can use if you do not give the same story or if what you said isn't true. There's just no reason to do what he did. And for heaven's sake, stop calling it a press conference. It was not a press conference. He read a statement. That's all he did.
So you don't even think he should have done that?
Absolutely not. The best advice you give your client is shut up. That's it. There's been tons of leaks. All he did is reiterate what the Dodgers and Ohtani had out in the media after the interpreter had told ESPN that Ohtani was involved and then realized, uh-oh, that's not good. So then they had the interpreter recant the story. They disavowed the interpreter. And ever since that moment, they've been telling you exactly what Ohtani told you yesterday, which is it's massive theft. I lost $4.5 million. I had no idea. I learned about it in the clubhouse in Korea in English. So I didn't even understand then until I went to the hotel and he confessed to me everything he had done.
But David, if you have nothing, if you did nothing wrong, I understand, okay, legally and what, you know, it's always best to say nothing. But if you've done nothing wrong and you are telling the truth, what's the harm?
All I can tell you is 3 years of law school and a lot of experience in my life, not having to ever do that, not having done anything like that. You tell your clients the same thing. When there's an investigation going on, whether you are telling the truth or not, whether you're on the right side of the law in every possible way or not, you simply don't talk. The question is, what was gained by what he did? Sometimes strategically, you'll want to do something. Maybe you'll want to say something about part of something. But watching yesterday's statement that was read, explain to me in your mind what Shohei gained.
In this country, I don't think he gained anything. I really wonder if this was all done for his homeland, for his image back in Japan. I'm very, very serious about that. Because in this country, four people maybe he convinced yesterday.
So interesting. He's got a bunch of sponsors. And one of the things that you have to worry about is he took $2 million a year in cash flow from the Dodgers and deferred 68 of the 70 million for 10 years from now. And the reason he did that is all the sponsorship income that is coming his way. So I absolutely understand if his sponsors needed him to come out and do that, but I wouldn't have done it with the Dodgers background. I wouldn't have done it with Andrew Friedman and Stan Kasten standing there watching him talk with two players as though they're showing this great support for their new fearless leader. If he needed to take care of sponsors, I want him to have a statement about his love of the game, about how sorry he is to be such a distraction, about how he can't wait for the truth to come out. Those sort of statements are okay. But his declarative statements that he made, believe me, the IRS, the investigators, the FBI, they're watching and they're saying, wow, that's pretty unequivocal we've got something to go on here.
Do you believe him?
You know, it's not, I was the first guy voted off of Survivor. So I tend to believe people, and that's maybe my mistake. So do I believe him? Every part except why he agreed to do yesterday and why he did not explain that the interpreter has access to his account. Why did he not say that part? Is that not true? That can be proven. You have to sign documents. For crying out loud, when I wire $100, they authenticate my identity three times. When I get a wire, it doesn't get into my account until I'm authenticated. And there were 9 wires, allegedly, of $500,000 going to a bookie. That's how Ohtani got involved in this in the first place, because his name was associated with wires. And the interpreter acknowledged that Ohtani did that and then changed his story, of course. But if you're going to do a statement at all, which you shouldn't, why wouldn't you say, and by the way, for those of you asking, the account that money came from, I never look at. I'm not even a signatory on. I don't even have control over it. My paycheck goes into it every other month. And that money, I never looked, and I can't believe it's gone. How about that as a comment?
He's David Sampson. Nothing personal with David Sampson. Live weekdays at 8 a.m. It is an award-winning podcast on two fronts. You can follow him on X at David the letter P Sampson, David P. Sampson. All right. Let's assume that he's changed his story, and the first story is the right one for a second. That he basically paid off his buddy's gambling debts. Is there a problem with that, David? Like, you're running the Marlins. Okay, but with Major League Baseball, and I'm being serious here, because none of us believe that our government's going to come down hard on Ohtani. That, yes, he probably broke state law, maybe he broke federal law, that he'll get probation and he'll be fine. Okay, but within the confines of Major League Baseball, is that a problem?
It's a straight violation of one of the rules of the CBA, that you cannot do anything or be associated with known illegal bookmakers. So if he's aware of any wires at all, or approving any wires that are going to illegal bookmakers, he is subject to a punishment by the commissioner. And believe me, the commissioner wants nothing then for this to be over. He right. wants the investigation to be done within 90 seconds of it starting, but you can't do it. And yesterday's statement did not help MLB's investigation. It merely reiterated what he had already said, that were coming out of his camp. They've got to get to the bottom of the questions that we're all asking, and they've got to do it thoroughly. Why? Because you can't be wrong when it comes to gambling. You simply cannot. And we're seeing what's happening in the NBA today. The second biggest story, Adam Silver is so thankful today for Shohei Ohtani, because any other day, what's going on with Porter and in the NBA with his prop bets, that's the only thing we're talking about.
All right, Major League Baseball has to be very thorough. I get it. Don't they have to be very quick? I mean, this is something, you know, you have to be very thorough, but they want, as you mentioned, they want this over with. So how long do you anticipate Major League Baseball investigating this, or is this just a matter of they're going to wait and see what the feds are going to do?
I think they have to wait and see, and think about how long it took with Bauer, and what the Dodgers did with Bauer is they just eliminated him. His locker was gone. His jerseys were gone from the team store, and you could just forget about him. But with Ohtani, he's batting second and is the face of baseball. So that's the nightmare of this situation for baseball, is they're going to be looking at this problem all year. How do you end the investigation with him getting off absolutely unscathed? You've got to go under every rock, because if they let him off and then it turns out that he did know about it, then they have to reopen it and then suspend him, and then they look foolish. So as much as they want this to be over quickly, they don't want to look bad. That's an overarching sense that the commissioner's office always has. So I think they're just going to stop talking about it. The investigation's going to continue. But a little nugget here, I promise you that there are news outlets who are also investigating this and trying to figure out what the trail of money, who had control of what, looking for sources, looking to see the status of the IRS and FBI investigation. So this story, for me, is far from over.
Well, the LA Times and ESPN were both apparently all over this story and about to go full-fledged in reporting it when, you know, the stories got changed in the last week has unfolded. DraftKings, and we have 3 minutes left. DraftKings is the number three sponsor in Major League Baseball in terms of how much money they pay. We've gone from one state to 40 in 5 years in terms of legalized sports betting, even though California is not one of them. If you're Major League Baseball here, do you need to maybe look at what's on the books, or do you need to maybe publicly restate what's on the books and say, okay, I think everybody needs now, we're going to use this Ohtani story to let everybody know what the rules are?
No, I don't think they do that. The way it works inside the game is we read the gambling rule on the last day of spring training. We post the gambling rule in the clubhouse with a bunch of notices in every possible language. And we talk about it during the course. Remember, I was the president of the Marlins when the Jared Cozart thing happened in 2015. And he had a problem with illegal gambling. It was not on baseball. MLB found that it was not on baseball. And there was a punishment, and that was that. However, in this instance, DraftKings is not really the issue. DraftKings is legal. It right. is a partner, and I should say they're a sponsor of mine. However, DraftKings, it is in their best interest to not have any funny stuff going on with players or with anything regarding the integrity, because if fans think that it's not a level playing field, and that players are doing something to make it so if you don't have inside information, then you're going to lose, people won't bet on sports. And at the end of the day, that's what the gambling company want. The gambling companies want you to gamble on sports responsibly, but they want you to think that you have a chance. And that's why the story in the NBA, the story with Ohtani, anything regarding gambling and players or referees is a problem.
30 seconds. You're a Major League Baseball player. Can you legally bet on other sports? Can you bet on the NFL? Can you bet on the NHL in season?
Yes, you can. You just have to do it in a legal way, never with a bookmaker. You can use the apps like DraftKings to make bets in states where it's legal. And the fact that people wouldn't know the difference between a bookie and DraftKings, I find that impossible to believe.
He's David Sampson. In 47 minutes, he will record today's Nothing Personal with David Sampson. He will do it live. Download it. Watch it live. Although, don't turn away from us. Download it after the fact.
Download it.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm okay with that.
All
and then
right.
come see me on tour. Tour starts a week from today in Philadelphia. Nothing Personal live with David Sampson.
Wow. Concert t-shirts and everything. He's becoming a BFD. Follow him on X at David the letter P Sampson.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour. Josh Pastner is taking a couple different teams to the tournament. He's now working for three different media outlets. He's pretty good at television. I'm sure he wants to get back into the coaching thing, but if he were to go full-time talking college hoops, he'd have a pretty good career. He joins us coming up in about 40 minutes time. Pat Kerwin, a little more than an hour, live from the NFL's owners meetings. And today they will likely decide on what to do, if anything, with the kickoffs. Yesterday they eliminated the swivel hip drop tackle. Not to be confused with the hip drop tackle.
Yeah, the swivel is key. It's all about the swivel. Because that determines whether or not they're blowing the whistle or throwing the flag, any of that stuff. It's got to be the
really?
Swivel hip drop.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I'm being
I
sarcastic.
I thought it was all about that base.
That's right where I was going. It's right where I was going, David.
But
no trouble.
It's the swivel. I thought it was about the base. All right. So there you have it. What'd you think about what David Sampson had to say?
I mean, other than that, his idea there should have never been a press conference or a statement read or any part of that, I'm with him that Major League Baseball wants this to go away.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many news outlets that are now digging that this isn't going to go away.
Well, and think about it. How, if you're the LA Times, are you going to get your information? Don't you basically have to get it from the feds? Because the illegal bookmaker is how this story emerged. Because since the feds are cracking down on this illegal bookmaker, and all of a sudden Ohtani's interpreter is, you know, lost $5 million or thereabouts betting with him. There are some that says it's actually a lot more than that, but we'll just stick with the $4.5 million till it's proven otherwise. I mean, so
I'm trying to figure out how, I mean, I've got a couple of friends that are rich. I don't know if they've got $4.5 million in their bank account, but I've got a couple of friends that are rich. Close friends.
Oh, you're one buddy. Your one buddy's got $4.5 million.
Probably.
Yeah.
But outside of his brothers, I don't know who would have access to the money.
Well, right. That's my thing.
I don't know who in their right mind would allow their friend, however close a friend it is.
Hey, buddy. Right. I mean, he said, buddy? Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
my
yeah.
Best bud. I mean, you know, I'd take a bullet for my best friend. He doesn't have anything to do with my money.
And you don't have anything to do with his.
No.
And it doesn't make any sense to most of us that a friend would have access to our account.
Right. Right.
To pull off this heist.
Now,
this is a heist. David, this is a hell of a heist. If this interpreter is that bright that he was able to steal $4.5 million without it being known, he is a really good criminal.
Now, people do steal money from other people all the time, though. I mean, people do get access to our accounts. I mean, we have to, not, you know, cybersecurity and all that. So, I mean, he has to be either an incredible thief to have gotten a hold of Ohtani's banking information to be able to have pulled this off.
Or it's simply Ohtani's involved and they're just trying to dance around this.
Which is what debts.
Yes, right.
Which I got to be honest with you, in this country, I don't know about in Japan, I don't know about worldwide. If Ohtani paid off his buddy's $4.5 million gambling debts and still kept him around on the payroll, he's still his buddy. Do you know what his stock would be in this country? It would go through the roof. Are you kidding? I don't know about anywhere else in the world, but in this country?
Yeah, that's likable. It's funny.
Oh,
it's memeable.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
No ticky, no laundry. I don't understand. I cannot comprehend this story, David. I really cannot. I can't understand how he could have someone steal $4.5 million from him, and I can't understand Ohtani giving him $4.5 million to pay off his debts.
Right, either
Both
side.
Of them seem unbelievable to me. That's why I'm having so much trouble with this.
And an important piece of this, I think, that we've mentioned, but maybe not enough, is that Ohtani's contract that he just signed is backloaded. Like, he doesn't have all that money right now.
Yes, he does.
Well,
the endorsements, the plane.
I know. Yeah, I'm just saying that when you see that he signed that record-breaking contract, it's not like he has that money right now. It's not like, here's $4.5 million. It's still $4.5 million.
It is. Apparently in $500,000 payments. So,
this is so bizarre.
So to believe it, this guy was stealing it, and the reason he was only sending $500,000 at a time was what? So that Ohtani wouldn't notice?
He would have noticed $4.5 million at once, but not $500,000 nine times?
Nine different times.
Right. Nine times.
Imagine writing yourself a check for $500,000. I mean, that wouldn't suck. Unless you're doing it illegally, of course.
I mean, I paid off a mortgage one time. I mean, that check had, you know, a lot of numbers in it and all that. But I couldn't imagine if I was signing it over to a guy. Who's this going to? My guy. Really? Yeah. I owe him the money. I mean, think about what it would open up for Ohtani. Ohtani could make guest appearances in, like, gangster movies. Okay. I mean, hour-long dramas. I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, is he good for it? Damn right he's good for it. Besides, I'm buddies with Ohtani. I mean, it would end up being lines in movies. Is he good for it? Yeah, he's buddies with Ohtani.
The Godfather Part 4 starring Shohei Ohtani.
Definitely a couple bars and a rap song that are coming out there and have Ohtani in it.
That's what I was thinking too. Lyrics, references, SNL.
I know Kendrick just dropped his new album, but it's a little late for that, but maybe he's got something else in the works.
You never know.
All right, a lot less to choose from for young Trent last night. So kind of curious as to what the play of the day is going to be.
Well, David, your favorite team took on my favorite team, which is also the worst team in my favorite franchise's history. It's Knicks Pistons, baby. Knicks won it by 25 and held the Pistons under 100 points. But a huge catalyst for that was Villanova's own Dante DiVincenzo. 11 threes. Here's how Mike Breen called the 11th one.
Here's a three. Bang! There it is, number 11. Dante DiVincenzo.
And now they're going to take him out. Well, the record is 14, and he's got 11. And now we'll get a much-deserved standing ovation.
Standing O at the Garden for Dante DiVincenzo. I love the bang call almost as much as Felipe. Not as much, but almost as much. DiVincenzo finished with 40 points, and the Knicks are fourth in the East, just a half game behind the Cavaliers. Basketball's better when the Knicks are good, and your life is better when your house is clean. So call Molly Maid.
There you go. See, look at that. 774-5839. I wasn't even ready for that. Molly Maid, proud sponsor of the Play of the Day. Call him today. 239-774-5839.
We have no evidence that the NBA is better when the Knicks are good, at least not in the last 20-plus years. We have a lot of evidence that life is better when your house is clean, though. I mean, honestly, in terms of contributing to society at large, the Knicks or Molly Maid?
Molly Maid. It's not even
Molly
close.
Molly Maid. Right. Absolutely.
Well, I'll agree with that for sure. But, David, there's always a team. You know, my Pistons haven't been good in 15 years. There's always a team I got to hitch my wagon to in the playoffs. I'm riding the Knicks. Wow. I don't know what that means for you. That might be horrible news, but
probably.
I think they can make a run.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
A lot of Villanova talent on that team.
Yes. Just curious, Dante DiVincenzo, you think he and Ohtani star in Godfather 4?
And Tommy Cutlets.
Tommy Cutlets' agent is for sure in it.
Oh, no doubt. He's the interpreter. Couldn't you see that? Dresses like Kim Mulkey, for goodness sakes.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes till the top of the hour. Josh Pastner at the top of the hour. We'll talk about the tournament thus far and look ahead to some of the Sweet 16 matchups with the former Memphis and Georgia Tech head coach, Pat Kerwin, to join us 1 hour from now live from the NFL owners meetings. Our poll question, do you believe Ohtani's story that his ex-interpreter stole the $4.5 million from him? Yay or nay?
So 80% far, of you say no.
No way. All right. If we ask this poll question, then we're going to move on to something else. But if we ask this poll question, gut feeling, if one of these two stories is true, A, the guy stole the money from him. He's the one with the gambling problem. Or B, Ohtani's the gambler and the interpreter's taking the fall. If I can assure you that one of those two storylines is true, and as a viewer, there's like a television show, you know, grab your remote, vote accordingly. Which storyline?
We're asking the audience for help?
Wasn't there a TV show one time that like asked the audience to like pick the ending or something like that?
I don't know about that.
So if I could assure you that one of these two storylines is true, because Ohtani's saying none of these two storylines is true. Okay. It's A, Ohtani paid off his buddy's gambling debts, but now he wants to disavow himself from the buddy in doing that. Or B, the buddy's the fall guy.
Well, we're into a conspiracy theory in this country, and I think that the 80-20 would be the same way if that was up, that Ohtani was gambling.
Because even the fall guy, you know, when he was on the record talking to the LA Times and ESPN, he went out of his way to say, listen, got nothing to do with him. This is all me. This is all me. I'm the gambler. I'm the guy losing the money. He doesn't drink, you know, doesn't smoke, doesn't gamble. You know, okay. All right. I get it. So, you know, that's all. Just kind of curious.
Where would you lean? Because I would lean that Ohtani's, if it's one of those two, I would lean that Ohtani's the gambler.
Yeah, I'm going to be David Sampson here. I'm going to be the guy voted off of Survivor. I'm usually not this naive, but I'm just going to say that the interpreter's got the gambling problem. Ohtani paid off his debts. And then once it became public, which it never would have until the feds went after this illegal bookmaker, okay, once it went public, Ohtani's like, well, I can't be involved in anything that's, you know, even associated with illegal activity. So I got to cut you loose. You know, this is Goodfellas. Okay. Calls him over in, you know, brings him to the house, reaches into his pocket, hands him like $312 and says, I got to let you go.
You're dead to me.
You're dead to me. Yep. So I'm going with that one right now. Couldn't you just picture that? Ohtani and the interpreter. Ohtani reaching into his pocket.
I nearly just sent you a text on the show saying, can I borrow $2 million? Because I'm having difficulty with you believing that. And we don't do shtick on the show. No, we don't. We're not doing one take one side, one take the other. We don't do that. We don't have time for that. But I'm a little
surprised,
taken aback.
I know.
That $4.5 million is gone, and you actually believe that could have been stolen.
No.
Ohtani paid it off. I'm sorry.
Here it is.
I'll pay off your $4.5 million of debt, and now you're dead to me.
Yeah, but think about it. Okay. Just imagine it was you and me. I'm being serious here. And one of us is making 50, 60, 70 million a year. Because that's what Ohtani's making off the field. Might even be making more than that. He could be making 100 million a year for all we know. I mean, how big he is on the other side of the world. So, I mean, Mark, in all honesty, what's $4.5 million? I mean, you and I, if we, and you know, we're tight. We're not best friends. We're good friends. We would do a lot for the other. Okay. If I had $100 million in the bank, there's a list of people that I'd pay off their gambling debts. I would. I got the money. I would. If I had $100 million in the bank, with the promise, by the way, of basically $1 billion coming my way over the next 20 years, you mean to tell me I wouldn't pay off your $4.5 million? Of course I would.
David, I think that's all well and good. And I believe that you would. Here's the problem I have with it, however. What bookmaker is going to let an interpreter run up a $4.5 million tab? I mean, I know bookies. I know I could get a line of credit for a couple thousand dollars right now with at least two different bookies.
Right.
One just texted me.
And did you text him back and says Moulton's good for it?
Right. I just don't see how you could get that line of credit without the money to pay it off.
Well, what if you say, yeah, but I'm tight with Moulton. Moulton's good for it.
Moulton's not betting with me.
Okay.
That's where I have the problem.
I got you.
Is that I just don't see how the bookie, right, the guy who runs the illegal gambling operation that's based on cash.
Right.
Is going to give the interpreter a $4.5 million line of credit. 21,000, that's the text line.
Meanwhile, there's the other legitimate gambling story, if you will. I mean, these are the facts, and they are indisputable, as they like to say. Raptors forward Jonte Porter played in two games over the last 2 months in which he had the single most money bet for or against him on prop lines of all the players in the NBA. Jonte Porter. And in the first game on January 26th, he plays for the Raptors, by the way. And he averages like 6 points, 5 rebounds a game, 2-3 assists. You know, role player, plays 18, 20-something minutes. First game, he plays 4 minutes. Leaves, says he re-aggravated an eye injury from the previous game. Doesn't come back in the game. Well, all the prop money was bet like against him on the under. And it all won. Huh. Interesting. Then March 20th, nearly 2 full months later, exact same situation. Whole bunch of prop money, almost all of it on the under. He plays 3 minutes. Says he didn't feel well. Leaves the game. Now, it should be pointed out, isn't he making league minimum? I mean, isn't he making like $450,000? Like, I don't, you know.
He's on a non-guaranteed two-way contract with the Raptors.
Right.
He'll be a restricted free agent this summer if the team tenders him a $1.87 million qualifying offer.
But his salary this year, isn't it like $450? So he's not, you know, I mean, you're in the NBA and you're, quote, making millions and, you know, what do you, well, he's not making millions yet, number one. And, yeah, this is deemed suspicious activity in the gambling community. And so, yeah. Do you think we're going to see Tim Donaghy pop up on sports talk radio shows?
Of course.
This week?
Surprised we didn't try to get him on ours.
I'll try for tomorrow.
I know we've got his number.
Well, I know our old producer does. I don't know if I do. Call him. So anyway, you got that story out there.
And it's a wild one. I mean, when these underbets are the most popular underbets for the night for an obscure player who averages less than 5 points a game.
Well, those are the shadiest ones, right, when it goes under, because that means you clearly have control over that. Overs are tougher.
Right.
Obviously, because you have to actually play the game and get the points. But the under, you can just, yeah, my eye hurts.
His over-under for that game was 7.5 points.
Which one? The first one or the
first
second one?
The first one.
Okay, he played 4 minutes. Now, you can score 8 points in 4 minutes, but normally if you score 8 points in 4 minutes, you play more than 4 minutes.
But both times he came out early, once he's sick, once because of his eye.
Right. Right. Ah, my eye!
Yeah, nothing that shows up on an x-ray, nothing that...
I will say there's part of this that... Like's not the right word, but I'm impressed with how quickly they are... That this is coming out. Because if you are a gambler, and here's some player trying to game the system, or player and his friends trying to game the system, they got caught.
Well, and also think about it, you know, role player, bad team. I mean, haven't the Raptors lost like 10 in a row here? I mean, the Raptors are tanking.
Completely.
They have to finish with one of the 6 worst records in the league to hold on to their first round pick. Otherwise, Utah gets it. So the Raptors are in a full-fledged tank.
Right. They sold off Siakam. They're under the radar.
Yeah, OG to the Knicks. Right. They sold off damn near all their good players but Scottie Barnes. Right. People right now are like, wow, I didn't even know these guys played for the Raptors.
But that's the thing. To Mark's point, that's probably part of it. That's probably why some of these guys or whoever's involved with this Yeah, the Raptors aren't any good. They won't notice a thing. They play in Canada.
They don't knock down casinos to build smaller ones.
No. But if you think about it, if you were to try to, let's pull off a little game here, you'd pick a role player on a bad team, and you wouldn't want to try to skim the game. Let's just try to do it with prop bets. I mean, you average, what, 5.5 points a game?
Who would you want in your pocket for one game? I'd want a kicker. Kicker or a goalie? You give me a kicker or a goalie, I can do a goalie, probably the best. Goalie would be number one. Kicker would be number two.
Because you figure even if the goalie gets pulled, he's given up 5 goals in a period and a half. You know, you can probably, A, that's the over-under in a lot of cases.
What about a pitcher?
Pitcher gets pulled pretty quickly, but yes, pitcher would be up there.
I mean, come on. Like, just take the under on his strikeouts or something.
But, I mean, a field goal kicker, prop, he's going to miss an extra point. Done.
Well, I will say, I don't know if they're going to have the streaker bet in the Super Bowl ever again, because the guy who won it, well, he was the streaker.
Right.
Genius. Absolutely genius.
Apprehended, paid the fine. Yeah. Trust me, my winnings are paying this fine.
Paid for the fine, paid for the ticket.
Yep. How are you going to pay for this? Ah, throw it on my Amex. I'm good. I got to get over to the Bellagio, get my winnings. But, and this is the downside. You and I, for, you know, we pounded the table for 15 years about legalized sports betting and make it widespread, and there's a lot of, that you could do. You tax it, regulate it. There's a lot you can do with an unbelievable amount of money. And it's a user tax, because if you don't gamble, it doesn't affect you. In theory, it could only benefit you, right? Better roads or schools or what have you, that'll make your community better, in theory. But we took a lot of heat from a lot of people for 15 years going, guys, there's a downside to this. You guys are ignoring it. Or you're just sweeping it to the side.
And that's true. We were. Yeah. We think we've always thought the good outweighed the bad. And there is definitely bad. There's addictions that come with gambling. There are people that are going to lose all kinds of money because they can't have any control over their betting.
But we also argued that, believe it or not, if a little point shaving or something was going on, if you legalize it, you're much more aware of it. Because nobody tracks the betting like Vegas does. Vegas alerts the feds as to what's going on. Well, Vegas calls the commissioners of the leagues up and go, yeah, the Panthers-Texans game, there's some funky stuff going on there. Let your security department know. Josh Pastner, talking the madness, next.